Well, we're just half an hour from eating. A little more than that. So, do you think we should go through Psalm 119 verse by verse? Or? We're in Colossians chapter 4. You know, I think we have more people under 25 than older. That's amazing. Thanks to the Gibbish clan. So Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And I will read those. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we study these two verses on walking in wisdom and our talk and our answers, may they help us just understand how we're to live as Christians among the lost. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the truths you've given us that we can study and apply and take to heart. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Living Among the Lost. So verse 5 says the phrase, them that are without. So who are they? Who are them that are without? They are those who do not have faith in Jesus Christ. They are the lost souls who haven't received God's gift of salvation through faith in our Lord and Savior. And there's a dividing line between believers and unbelievers. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 of us as believers, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ because our permanent home isn't here on earth, is it? Our permanent home is in the kingdom of heaven. We're no longer strangers to God's household because he's adopted each one of us as believers into his household. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. But now we're strangers on earth. We don't belong to this world anymore, even though we live here. Psalm 119:19 says, I am a stranger in the earth. And just as the hymn says, which I love this hymn, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Those who are without are those who are without hope because they are without Christ. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Every man, woman, and child who do not believe in Jesus Christ is a condemned soul. As John 3:18, Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And as believers, we live on earth among them that are without. Many of you working, you work among unbelievers. Could be somebody who works under you, could be your boss, could be your coworker. And younger people who attend school, you're attending school with unbelievers. Your teachers are probably or might be unbelievers. the principal. And of course, we all live among unbelievers every day. When you go shopping, when you're dealing with a government body or official, when you get your car serviced, whatever you do, chances are you're dealing with unbelievers. And we must live among them who are without. We're not a group like Mennonites or the Amish who totally separate themselves from the world as much as they can. But you see, it's important that we interact with unbelievers as God expects us to. And in his word, he's given us instruction on how we're to relate to the lost who we come in contact with. And I just have 3 points this morning. The first is our walk among the lost. The second is our talk with the lost. And thirdly, our answers to the lost. So if you look at the first part of verse 5, it talks of our walk among the lost. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. The word walk means our manner of life. It means how we behave ourselves and how we live, how we walk along the road of life. We're to behave ourselves in wisdom. Does that mean we can live according to the wisdom of the world? No, it doesn't, does it? We know, because the Bible tells us the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. We are to walk according to the wisdom of God as we live among unbelievers. Our Heavenly Father is our source of wisdom. Proverbs 2:6-7 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And I came up with a couple of reasons to live by the wisdom of God among unbelievers. The first is so we don't hurt ourselves. How easily would it be to slip back into living like the unsaved? Our flesh is weak. My flesh is weak. And if we slip back into living like the unsaved, our flesh will go back to fulfilling its lusts. If we turn our thoughts from the wisdom of God to the foolishness of the world, we risk slipping back into a lifestyle that's not pleasing to the Lord. We're warned in 2 Corinthians 6:14 not to get involved, not to get unequally yoked with unbelievers. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? When we spend too much of our time with unbelievers, with the lost, I think we can lose our desire to live by the wisdom of God. And we'll go back to the thinking and behaving the way the lost think and the way the lost behave. We're warned in 1 Corinthians that good manners are corrupted by evil communications. 1 Corinthians 15:33-34. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. We're separate from the lost. We belong to God. We don't belong to the world anymore. And since we belong to God, we're to live a life of holiness as God is holy. And it's difficult at times because the temptations from unsaved people are always there, trying to draw us away from living the way that God expects us to live. When we turn from the living God to the world, we'll grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. and bring upon ourselves the chastisement of God. But there's another reason we're not to forsake walking in God's wisdom, which is so we don't hurt others. Have you ever heard of a person say, "I don't go to church anymore because they're all a bunch of hypocrites"? You ever heard that? You see, the unsaved keep a keen eye on us. They want to see if we truly live differently than they do. If they see us living the same way they do, it will only reinforce their dislike for religion and their thought, "Well, why would you bother go to church if you're living like me?" People will judge you according to how they see you. They don't know your heart, but they see you from the outside. They see your actions. Whenever a well-known pastor has been caught in adultery or living a lavish lifestyle at the expense of the church, and it does happen, it hurts the lost because they'll look at the Christian faith and say, they're just like a greedy corporate businessman. It's no different, church. Before I was saved, I had a cynical view of Christianity. I'd watch the odd show on TV with Tammy, what's her name? And yeah, the Bakers. And he was just out for the money, right? Just the smiling face and the perfect hair and the makeup. But my opinion on religion, on Christianity, was based on what I saw those hucksters doing on television. You see, they were hurting me by their actions. And these money-loving pastors, they're described very well in Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Our minds must be renewed and transformed by the reading of God's word and applying to our life. That's God's will for you. It's God's will for me. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12:2. We will show the light of Christ to others when we walk in the wisdom of God. This will lead some of the lost to glorify God when they see our good works. Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Notice Colossians 4:5, the last part says, redeeming the time. We're to make good use of our time while living here on earth. We're not to live like we have many years ahead of us, living in pleasure, just enjoying ourselves. As it says in James 4:14, we don't know how long we've got. None of us do. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." We must redeem the time. We're to walk among the lost in obedience to the Lord. We're to have a good testimony before the unsaved. We must make good use of our time because the days are evil. That's what Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Just as the days of time during Paul's life 2,000 years ago were evil, they're evil today. Our walk among the lost must be in the wisdom of God. But also, let's look at a second point, our talk among the lost. The first part of Colossians 4:16 says of our talk, "Let your speech always be always with grace, seasoned with salt." So we see, first of all, we must always talk with grace. So what does it mean to talk with grace? It means to talk with kindness, goodness, tenderness. There isn't much talk with grace in our world today. Do you agree? When I listen to YouTube videos about political matters, there's no grace in the words of these men or women who talk about leaders. They ridicule them. They mock them. There's cursing even in some of the videos. But you see, we're not to talk in a hateful way, because that's the way many of the lost talk. Our talk must be with grace. Our talk must be with kindness, tenderness, and goodness. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. You know, in the past 10 years, the world has embraced sexual immorality. Schools are teaching that you can choose to be a boy or a girl anytime in your life. They are allowing boys into girls' washrooms and change rooms. They're letting boys compete on a girls' sports team. And you know, it breaks my heart when I read about what's happening in libraries. Men in dresses are reading story times to little kids, young children. And what's even worse is the parents have brought them there. And the parents are willing participants. And the library staff are willing participants. But we're not to rage at these sinful things that are going on. You know, that's my flesh. I get angry. I want to rage about this sinful behavior. But we're not to wish harm to those who have brought these terrible things into the schools and the libraries and elsewhere. We're not to say bad and hateful things about this immoral behavior in front of the lost. As it says in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." We must always talk with grace. We must talk with kindness and goodness, but at the same time, we must season our talk with salt. You know, before the days of refrigerators, salt was used as a preservative. And years ago, I had a conversation with an older man who grew up in Bracebridge on a farm. They had no fridge when he was young. And they had to keep a barrel on the porch in the winter with pork in it. And it was full of salt. And the salt would preserve the pork. So when it was time for dinner, I guess his mom would go out and she'd cut some pork off and they'd have it for dinner. See, when we speak with grace, our talk must be seasoned with salt, which is a preservative. When we speak hateful things about others in front of the lost, we're speaking corrupt things. And it's God's word that seasons our speech with salt, because God's eternal word will never be corrupted. God's word, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Psalm 119, 140. Do all you Hurleys remember that verse? Yes. Good. If a politician has been caught telling a lie, we talk about him with words of grace, but we also must remember we ourselves have also lied. None of us can say, "I have never lied." Just by saying that in itself is a lie. But we can't harshly judge a politician for lying when we have done the same. Luke 6:37, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." We're to speak with kind and good words, but we're not to ignore the truth of God's word. Our talk must be seasoned with salt. We must not hesitate to talk of the fate of all liars, all the unsaved liars who do not repent and place their faith in Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:8. Terrible verse when I think of where unsaved people go. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. As we speak with grace of the immorality that's promoted by our schools and governments and public organizations, we must season our talk with the preserving talk of preserving salt of God's word. The lost must know that God will judge all immorality, and all unrepentant souls will pay eternally for their sin. Leviticus 20:13 talks of a man lying with mankind. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And with regard to men being like women and women being like men, that's an abomination to the Lord. Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Our talk with the lost, among the lost, must be with grace, but it must be seasoned with salt. If we don't season our graceful talk with salt, we're being weak Christians. We're just hiding from the immorality instead, saying, look, this is what God says. This is what God says about this. So I have a third point. It's our answer to the lost. The last part of verse 6, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. When an opportunity comes to us to talk to an unsaved person, we are to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us. As it says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're to give the reason for our hope with meekness, which means gentleness. It means humility. We're to answer in fear, which is in fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's Proverbs 9:10. We have the knowledge of the gospel by which we were saved, right? The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to help us answer any questions about salvation. And everyone we answer about eternal life, they'll hear the same truth. The gospel doesn't vary. It's the same gospel. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. But what is different is the way we answer, the way we approach the gospel to different people. In the gospels, Jesus answered people according to their background, according to their beliefs. For instance, when he spoke to the woman at the well in Samaria, Jesus spoke of God being the true God, because the woman was worshiping a false god at the mountain. Whereas when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. He believed in God. So Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again to see the kingdom of God. He didn't have to say, this is the true God. He said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus needed to know that he had to be born of the Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in John 3:5 to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. When Paul spoke to the Jews at Antioch, he answered them by giving a brief history of the Jewish people than telling them that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. But when he was in Athens talking to the Greeks, he talked about the unknown God, the statue of the unknown God. Paul told them that God is the creator of the world. He's the creator of all things, and that they should seek the Lord, for he is not far from them. Paul said to them in Acts 17:27 that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Paul then warned them to repent, to believe in Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, and they to believe in him before God judges the world in righteousness. Every unsaved person you and I meet are different. They might be an atheist. They might be a Roman Catholic. They might consider Christians as being part of a cult. My brother believes in reincarnation. I have to approach him differently than somebody else. Maybe the person had a bad experience at church with somebody. When we know the person's background and their thinking, it helps us better understand how to approach the gospel with them and tell them about the hope that we have. So as I close this morning, when I think about living here on earth among the lost and all the bad things that are happening, sometimes I think it would be so wonderful to be in God's kingdom right now. I know that's selfish, but I just think of a world that's free from sin, free from sickness, free from death, free from violence. But you know, that's how Paul felt. He even expressed that opinion in Philippians 1:23 and 24. He said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." He knew he was to live in the flesh because the Christians needed him. The Philippian Christians needed him, and all the other Christians that he spoke to and communicated with. See, with us, it's needful that we live here on earth among them that are without. It's needful we live among the unsaved, for they all need to be saved. Every unsaved person needs to hear and believe the gospel. We must make good use of our time to witness to those lost souls we come in contact with, to tell them about the hope that's within us. You know, it's sometimes difficult to witness to people because people are often hostile. My brother's hostile to the gospel, or they aren't interested in what you have to say. It says in Psalm 126, it can be heartbreaking at times. It can cause you to weep and shed tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, despite tears we might shed over a lost soul, an unrepentant soul, there is a time for joy. There is a time for rejoicing, because people will receive and believe in Jesus Christ. We must not grow weary as we walk among them who are without. We must continue to speak to others with grace, seasoned with salt, and give an answer to every man of the hope that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gospel, the simple truth. And we can just share that with people who are willing to listen. We can share it by giving them a tract, inviting them to church, or just sharing the truth about Jesus Christ and what he did for them when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the boldness to speak the truth to those who need to hear it. And I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, and we can just look to you every single day of our lives. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.